Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Welcome to any new listeners and welcome back to any of my regular listeners. Today, I have another great episode for you, and I'm going to be talking to Tara Taylor, who is the founder of Good Grain Bakery, and she's going to be telling me all about how she started, what she's learned, and her allergy and free from journey so far. So welcome, Tara.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So the first question I like to ask everybody who comes on, actually, is tell me a little about your free from journey so far. Where did it start and where has it come to now?
I think I've been following a wheat-free diet pretty much since I was about 16 years old. So that's going back about 17 years or so. And I discovered that I couldn't really stomach wheat. Pasta, bread and stuff like that, so I was just avoiding it really, and I felt great. Occasionally I would sort of give in and then pay the price heavily, but it wasn't actually until a few years ago that I decided to buy myself one of those automatic bread makers. And I was baking bread non-stop, and it didn't agree with me at all, so I became quite poorly very quickly. So I decided to look into baking gluten-free bread for myself. So I started following the sort of, you know, recipes that you get on the internet, and that comes with a bread maker, and I just wasn't really satisfied with it. So I packed it up and put it away. And I started buying gluten-free bread from the supermarket. I must say I wasn't best impressed, and it wasn't something that I was, that was for me or for my family. And I sort of did a bit of investigation into the whole label side of things, and I sort of realised that half the ingredient list on most of the gluten-free bread in the supermarket, I had no idea what they were. So I decided to look for an organic version of it, which was very difficult to find. So I decided to bake my own. And that's when the idea started to, produce my own gluten-free products. For myself and for my family. Around about the time that I was baking gluten-free bread, I decided to go eggless because my daughter's best friend from primary school, she has all the allergies, dairy, soya, lactose, celiac. It was our little thing that we used to share, and my poor daughter had to go to school taking bread for her friends. So she was like known bread girl, smuggling bread into school. So I started sharing that, sharing the love. The chef at school, she was also allergic to soy and nut, sesame, egg, celiac. So I started supplying the school with bread. So I had to get my kitchen at home certified by the local council, by my council, and I think that's where it all began. Just started supplying local businesses from home and set up my own micro bakery at home. So I invested in a mini Kumba, and that was it.
Oh wow! And when was that? Was that quite a long time ago, or was that quite recently?
That was about 3 years ago. So it was going back in 2014. It took me about 7-8 months of intense recipe development. Mm-hmm. I taught myself to bake basically backwards. So I taught myself to bake with all the fancy ingredients, trying to get hold of all the stuff ingredients that all the specialist bakers use. Obviously, because I wasn't an established business, I couldn't get hold of the samples easily. So I started researching into what the properties were and how they behaved and in what way. So, and I just thought, well, surely there must be a natural alternative to all this. So I started sort of working it out backwards and ended up producing a loaf of bread that was basically able to hold itself up with a decent enough crumb structure, and it had great shape, great taste, and all natural, really, with a handful of shop-bought ingredients.
Wow. Yeah, and I have tasted your bread, and I really enjoyed it. So did my boyfriend. And I remember looking at the ingredients, and I was like, oh, this is all normal stuff. It's not... And it's normal stuff. There's not a huge amount of potato or like heavy starch type grains in it or flours. And I was like, oh, this is going to be quite nice. It's much more paleo, actually, I realized by looking at the ingredients, than a lot of other breads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think... Yeah, I've looked into paleo, actually, because I have terrible IBS, which is obviously another thing that we'll probably in a moment, I'm sure. after all, that's why I'm here, doing what I do. I'm not too sure about that. I think the key thing I had in mind when I was developing my recipes was I didn't want to use any ingredients that you couldn't find in your local whole food mm-hmm. store. So everything had to come from, shop bought, really, and very simple. So, and to be able to get that commercially viable with shelf life, it was somewhat challenging, but I think it was definitely worth researching and investing the time and energy into it to be able to offer this. And I get emails every day from customers, and they're really, really lovely to read, and it just makes this whole thing just so worthwhile. And you just think, this is why it's worth doing this. This is the people that you want to reach out to and you want to help. Mm-hmm. And you've got to wake up and enjoy what you do.
yeah and it's so lovely seeing people's faces when they're like, oh my goodness, I can eat this and it tastes nice, not like cardboard.
I know. Or does it crumble on the way out, or it's the fact that it's vegan, or the fact that it's organic. It ticks many boxes, but the real thing, the main thing, is that it's a genuine concept, and it's something that I was looking for, and my daughter's friend was looking for, and also the chef at school was looking for, and it turns out so many people were. So I decided to launch and turn into a little business and see how it went. And actually, it's grown steady. It's grown organically. Mm-hmm. We're a very small team, and we all work well, and we're sort of behind the scenes. It's all sort of, there's obviously drama like everywhere, but we're a small team, and we sort of all appreciate what we do, and we put so much love and effort into it in production, make sure that everything knows is up to scratch and has the right shape and texture and taste.
Wow. So do you want to talk me through, like, what, because you're not working in your kitchen now, or you've got your own premises?
No, I've got my own premises. So last year I decided to just produce a couple of people that I've been producing for. So I was baking twice a week. And it was a shop in Kentish Town called Earth Natural Food. So I continued supplying them and continued to supply a little shop in Alexander Palace.
Yeah.
Just to keep the sales going, and obviously a record to show that the fact that people, the product was in demand, and also to improve the recipes along the way as well, because customers were very helpful there. They used to email me and give me feedback, which obviously is, you know, very valuable if you're trying to perfect the product. So I decided to not produce so much and put on my thinking cap, and I decided to try and get some funding behind me to set up a production site. So we have a production site in North Acton in London, and I've got a small team of bakers, and we just produce the products there and package it all there. So it's been a learning curve, the whole process, I think, from the business point of view and also from the recipe development point of view.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk to me a bit about the recipe development and then how you've set up your kitchen, your production, to make it allergy safe and safe for celiacs?
Yeah. So as you know, we spoke at Food Matters. I've got quite a lot of intolerances and allergies.
Yeah.
As a child, I grew up fracturing my legs and jaw's leg. I had really bad eczema and suffered terrible hay fever. Things that you're not on the 14 list of allergens, but I'm allergic to, for example, you know, I had a really bad reaction to aubergines. Unable to eat those. I can't have wheat, and I've recently discovered that I can't stomach dairy. I'm not sure if it's lactose or if it's just dairy generally, because I seem to react on goat's milk and goat's cheese as well. So that's partly the reason why the recipe had to be vegan for me, because I had to sort of switch my diet to a vegan diet to help myself and sort of repair all that, really. So I set up my kitchen with I registered it with the local council. I had to put together a HACCP, which is a hazard analysis procedure, critical control procedure, and I set all that up. So our house for a while was actually free from all the stuff that we don't use and the products, obviously, because I was eliminating those out of my diet. So I'm eliminating it, my family are eliminating it, because I'm the only one who cooks in our house. I had to empty out the kitchen, wipe all the surfaces, sanitize, follow all the cleaning procedures that I put into place. I was inspected by the local authority, and I've registered with the Organic Soil Association, so they've booked in an inspection as well. And that was it, really. So I just had to basically document everything for traceability and hygiene, and also batch code all the products that went out. I mean, I don't come from a food background, actually. My background was makeup and beauty.
Oh, wow, quite a different...
So I had to learn a lot very fast, but, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it, so it was really helpful to know and to pick up new things. You know, nothing better than waking up every day and learning new things. So I set that up, and as I said, I was producing for my house for about a year or so. On a very, very small micro scale, I was producing initially about 2 to 3 days a week, and sort of taking on clients such as Farm Direct and various other people, as Natural Foods, Hayland Glenger and Crouch End, because I'm based in North London myself. On a very, very small scale, of course, because I don't have the biggest oven, but it was actually a bit of a rigmarole to be able to keep that separation and keep your kitchen free from everything. So there's obviously, you have to clear everything out and put everything away, get it ready for production, and then get it ready back into sort of use the kitchen. But I have a very a very tidy kitchen anyway, I think. I like to keep everything to a minimum, even though I like to stock up on the old gadgets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I love my kitchen gadgets, but yeah, too many, and you're like, there's just too much in the cupboards.
I know. Exactly, like mixer, bread maker, coffee maker, juice presser, ice cream, and crumbs, endless.
So do you want to talk me through a bit about your own, like, how have you adapted your own diet to manage, you know, IBS, realizing that your dairy's not working so well, aubergine and those non-top 14 allergens are causing you problems?
So I think it was as a baby, from what family told me and my mother told me, I've always suffered from colic, and I was always a bit sort of, I had always suffered a dull tummy ache, and I was always crying as a baby and as a toddler. I believe I gave my mum hell. And I had eczema pretty much as long as I remember. And it was so severe that I would sort of scratch my legs and bleed to death, you know, constantly have scratch marks.
Yeah.
Covered in them. I think it was just, as I got older, I sort of became more and more aware of what I was eating. I mean, my mum's quite a healthy, she's an advocate for healthy eating. You know, she's always paid attention to food ingredient labels, and you know, often we would ask her to buy things, and she would say, "No, I can't buy that. It's full of this and it's full of that." So I've always been somewhat conscious of what goes in the food, and I've always been fascinated by how, you know, things are made. I just, you know, started to eliminate stuff from my diet. For example, the very first thing that I eliminated without actually acknowledging it was actually wheat. It's simply because it just didn't sit very well on my my stomach, and it, you know, it was causing me quite a lot of discomfort, bloating, running to the loo, tiredness. Sneezing. When I was about 18 years old, I had a part-time job when I was doing my A-levels, and I decided to eat aubergine for the first time because it was the only vegetarian option available, and I was starving. So it didn't go very well. I was in hospital the next day, pretty much.
Oh my goodness!
24 hours. Yeah, we suspected meningitis, so it turns out that it wasn't meningitis after I'd been for a CT scan and a lumbar puncture. And a great antibiotic, which I reacted to as well. So it turns out that all I was allergic to was aubergines, and I should just never have them again. So that was that. So I did food allergy tests shortly afterwards, and one of the things that came back for me was wheat and various other bits and bobs, certain like preservatives I don't react very well to that you commonly find in food, you know, to increase shelf life. So I had to basically prepare my own food fresh at home, and which wasn't a problem actually. I really enjoyed it. So I got into cooking at a very young age, and baking at a young age for myself. And then I think I hit a point in my life where I just avoided eating out and just avoided eating because I couldn't be bothered to deal with any of it and think about it.
Yeah.
It was mainly around that time when I think I was sort of settling down, having my children. I was so busy with life generally that I just realised that I was eliminating absolutely everything from my diet, and I was being very awkward. You know, I was a nightmare guest. People invited me over. I was sort of, you know, didn't want to be rude, but was picking at my food. You know, it was just awkward. So I decided to actually spend a bit of time and figure out, you know, what the hell's actually going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that? So I've seen the GP various times, and I've just been told that, you know, IBS and all that.
Yeah. So,
I also to eliminate dairy from my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a vegan, but I do now follow pretty much a vegan diet because I can't stomach dairy. I realised that I got distracted there. I just went to the GP and they told me to eliminate dairy from my diet. So I thought, well, what are you talking about? I'm fine. I'm okay on dairy, and I don't have any problems.
Yeah.
And actually, I do, and that's why I was continuing with all the stomach aches and you know, all the shenanigans associated with going to Lulu and all the stomach aches, bloating. Yeah, it was that horrible feeling. So I gave up dairy completely for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I felt like a different, and gluten obviously, and I felt like a different person. I felt brilliant, you know.
I bet.
And I didn't realise that actually, A, I could live without it easily.
Mm.
and B, you know, it's just so much better for me because, you know, why sit through all that pain? It's just not worth it.
Mm.
And also, the eczema side of things, you know, it's one of those things that it's a childhood condition that you just never grow out of.
Yeah.
If you eat all the wrong things.
Yeah.
So second year running now, I am free from taking antihistamines. I've not, touch wood, had to take antihistamines for eczema, hives and hay fever. So I'm really, really happy with,
wow,
at the moment I'm happy with where my diet is and how I feel.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, having to take antihistamines just to manage day to day is quite, well, it's not how one would want to live, really.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's quite something. And like, what have you found difficult and how have you managed it? How have you got over it?
Difficult. In terms of what?
Food, dealing with it, just like living day to day.
I think it's got a lot easier with all the sort of new vegan and veggie options and gluten-free options. There's more and more places, businesses, I mean, certainly where we are, I've become quite savvy to the whole allergy side of things, I think, and a lot more accommodating as well. And, you know, often some places that, you know, you go, for example, you know, just say we're strictly gluten-free kitchen, or, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, we're a strictly vegan restaurant. So, you know, gluten-free and vegan. Alternatively, you know, they offer, you know, you go into to grab your lunch now and you've got a choice. I remember, you know, a few years ago, I had to always make sure that I packed my own lunch or I had to go without.
Yeah.
You know, or I had to rush into sort of shops and find a bag of salad and, you know, and have,
yeah,
I don't know, raisins or something. Fill up in a banana, you know, and now you've actually got a choice. It's, you know, a really good choice. I just think that I'm really lucky to be living in London because I think it's a brilliant place. It's a great hub for food and, you know, innovation products. And new ideas, really. I think when you certainly go to different parts of the country, you do actually see that the choice is a little bit more limited.
Yeah.
And your diet, I'm saying quotation marks,
yeah,
is a struggle. You know, whereas in London, it's not really a diet. It's just, it's a lifestyle. It's feeling good. It's managing your allergies and not suffering, not having to put up with the horrible side effects that you get from having a bit of yogurt or ice cream. You know, you go into a shop, the ice cream parlor with your children, and you can have a dairy-free version and you can join in. And I think it's wonderful, really. You know, but
yeah,
I think there's still room, obviously, in this market to grow, and I'm really pleased with how there's a lot of options now in supermarket shelves and shop shelves. You know, people we do suffer from this and that and the other.
Yeah, and it's really nice that the free from market is growing so much, and I mean your business is a testament to that. Another, a lot of the other people we've had on the podcast, like Alessandra Bester, who I know you know, who are just doing amazing stuff with her like so absolutely beautiful little truffles, and there are like there's like Vicky, who's the free from fairy, with her amazing flower blend, I've interviewed loads of other people with their own food products that are just, it's just revolutionizing the free from industry, and it's going to start challenging the supermarkets as well. I think it already has, actually, because you've got supermarkets coming out with artisan bread and the big companies, because you've got so like you and the other smaller producers that are going, now we've got better bread, so
yes, exactly. Well, you know, I think people are becoming more and more aware of what goes in their food. And I feel like, for once, I feel like I'm not an outsider. I mean, you must be able to relate to this when I say I've always felt like it when it came to food. Because being vegetarian as a child, eliminating things gradually as I sort of growing up, you feel like an outsider. You feel like, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling like this? Why do I feel nauseous? Why am I itching? Why have I suddenly come up in hives, you know, two nights in a row? Was it the beef snarkies that I ate? Was it the raspberry? Was it this? Was it the shellfish, you know, or was it because my food was contaminated with that? And it's just it, you know, you try and introduce things in your diet, you try to eliminate them, and you just feel like you're constantly running around in circles trying to catch it. And of course, the thing is, you can get tested nowadays, which is wonderful, but you need to make sure that you're not eliminating it, but you're on that, you know, you're eating everything. So you mean you reintroduce things, and then you suffer, and then next minute it's something else, and it's not that first thing, and it's just a cycle goes on. I think, you know, that's where you start putting a label on it, saying, well, actually, is it just wheat? Is it rye? Am I okay with rye? Is it just a wheat allergy? Is it just, you know, casein? Is it lactose? Or just, you know, scratch the whole dairy aspect of it. I'm going like, you know, and you just, it's a headache. You know, for me, it's a headache. And I know that for my friends and relatives who have hosted me in the past, I've been an absolute nightmare. That's why we end up cooking for my friends, and they always end up telling you this is me.
Yeah, but I guess once you do figure out what's going on with your body, the relief and the, okay, now I know what to eliminate, now I know what's making me sick, and how much better you feel after you know and you can eliminate it is like night and day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think at the moment I am still just on that sort of elimination phase again, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I get terrible mouth ulcers, and they hurt. You know, I get terrible abdominal pains, and I could be going into a meeting, and suddenly all I can think about and see, forgive me for saying this, but the toilet, forgive me.
Oh no!
You know, and you're like, move out of my way. You know, and it's not a nice feeling. It really isn't, and you just don't know if it's stress, is it food? Is it a combination of both? Is it IBS or is it just
Do I follow this diet? What do I eat? What do I not eat?
So I'm very much sort of in that point of my life where I just think that I'm better off just eliminating and packing my own lunch. But you know, if I know if I'm at the bakery, there's not it's a really industrial area, so you've not really got much to choose from. So you know, I have stopped somewhere along the way from one of those leading sandwich type salad places, or and pick up a lunch, or I go without sometimes if I'm in a hurry, or I try and pack my own lunch in that way and make sure that you know it's not going to mess me up the day.
Have you
sure you can relate to that.
I mean, I haven't had it, like I don't have IBS, which I'm very lucky with, but I'm discovering more intolerances that as I'm getting older. So gluten, I discovered at I think it was 2021. I'm discovering dairy does not agree with me. I have a feeling that I know too much sugar is not good. I've got a sneaking suspicion that too much coffee and chocolate is not good. So I will be going on just over a month. My boyfriend and I are doing a chocolate free, he's starting today and I start on the 20th once I actually finish my recipe book that's all to do with chocolate. And so I'm going to figure out, I know dairy is not so good. I need to have some tests actually. I want to figure out what's going on. But you talking about your IBS, have you heard of the low FODMAP diet?
I have,
because I've been talking
eliminating.
But I was thinking when you were talking about your symptoms and things and how annoying it is, I've talked to a bunch of people. I've talked to, I don't know if you have heard of Hannah and Janet, who from Fodify Foods. Well, they, because I met them at Food Matters Live as well, same as you, and they've done some great products for to help people who are needing to be on a low FODMAP diet. But they were talking about the research that has happened because it was developed in Australia and the amount of patients they've had because they're registered nutritionists. And they've said the number of people they've come to see them who've been put on a low FODMAP diet has just, it's really helped them. And also I talked to one of the listeners of the podcast last week, Claire Fryer, episode 29, and she has IBS, and she went on a low FODMAP diet from I think it was November of 2016, so really recently, and she said it was really difficult in the beginning. And she's also, her kids have soya allergy, dairy allergy, gluten intolerance. She's had problems with wheat and gluten, like you have. So she's got a myriad, and also they're sugar free as well in their household. But she said going on the low FODMAP was so difficult in the beginning, but now she is enjoying her food more than ever. She feels the healthiest she's ever felt. So it might be something that you'd be interested to look more at and listen to some of the episodes, because some of the information was really useful. I learned a lot from Claire. So that might be something to help you on your journey at the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think anything can really help. You can't really rely on not knowing and just chancing it every day. It's difficult to, and obviously if you've got no solid, if you don't know exactly what's going on, and one day, you know, you have something and you're okay with it, the next day it sort of becomes really aggressive on your body. You just think, how is that? Sometimes it's this. So no, I would definitely look into it. I have heard of it actually. But I think I read the list and I thought, come on, give me a break. I need to, you know, eliminate more things. It's got to be worth doing, really. It's got to be worth looking into as well. I certainly look more into that, I think, because it's not fun.
And it's inconvenient on a day-to-day.
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, I remember actually there was a time after I had my second daughter, Ruby, believe it or not, I was I ate the same thing for about a year and a half. So I was breastfeeding. The same thing every single day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh my goodness.
just for the sake of not suffering and not being in pain. Just kind of very simple sort of, just the same thing, pretty much the same thing every single day. It got boring very quickly, but it wasn't so bad at the time because I just thought, this is so much better. This is the answer to everything, you know, but obviously it's not.
Oh,
I thought I had it all fast, you know. I'm there, I'm sorted, you know, no more problems. But I think, you know, you get to a point in your life where you say, you know, come on, you start making peace with yourself and you start thinking, well, actually, I need to just get to the bottom of this. I would definitely look into the low-fod diet.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. Just before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you, what are your three top tips for someone who's at the beginning, even more beginning than you, and they're figuring out what's wrong with them, free from journey? What's your three top tips?
My first one would be, don't eliminate anything and just go into your GP to make sure that you get all the testing. So I think that's when you're going to get the most accurate results.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, don't give up on that until you know you have some answers that you're happy with and it's working for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I would say is, you know, obviously, aside from all that, just plan your meals. If you plan your meals and you give it some thought and consideration, I mean, initially it might be a bit of a nuisance because you've got to sit down and think, what do I want to eat later in the week? But actually, when the time comes, if you choose tasty recipes or create, you know, or make it easy to make up your own, if you're like me, I can't follow recipes. I need to make my own stuff. It's starting to flip through recipes for inspiration. But I think, just planning ahead really, really helps. Just, you know, you plan ahead what you're going to have. And also, it helps with knowing what to shop for, not being tempted to pick up things that you know that are not going to agree with you, and then being tempted by it, you know, based on what you eat it and suffer. Planning ahead is really, really important. But I'd say if you're starting out and if it's a new thing, you know, just try and get as much sort of tests as you can to find out exactly what's causing the problems. For me, it's one thing that I wish I had done properly when I was a bit younger. But,
Oh, that's great advice. Yeah. That's great advice. Thank you so much for joining me, Tara.
Thank you for having me, Nina.
You're very welcome.
So that was Tara from the Good Grain Bakery. And the Good Grain Bakery are, you can find them on Twitter, Facebook, I believe Instagram as well, and their website is goodgrainbakery.com, and all the links will be on the show notes for you, so you'll be able to find them. And their bread is really delicious. Tara's bread is really delicious. When I met her back in November of 2016, she gave me a few samples to try, and I tried one of her loaves of gluten-free bread, and there were these like little kind of like not croutons, but little flatbread, like crisp flatbread things that were round little discs that you could use as canapes, or you could break them up and use them as croutons or stuff. And they were really delicious. I had them with various little toppings or just on their own as like a little like crispy snack while I was working, and they were really good. So I think, they're available in a lot of places. If I just check Tara's website now, there's actually loads of stockists, and they've got a little icon or a little bit in their website that you can go to. So they're available at Planet Organic, Selfridges in London, I believe, the May Deli. You can get them on Abel and Cole, Fortnum and Mason. You've got a place called the Detox Kitchen, Unicorn in Manchester. loads of places all over. So if you just go to their website and look at the stockist page, you'll be able to find all the places that stock their organic, gluten-free and vegan breads. And it is delicious. I'll put some pictures up when I launch this episode so that you can see my boyfriend and I enjoying ham and cheese sandwiches, because we used it on a weekend away. Actually, Tara gave me the bread just before I went on a weekend away in Bath with some friends. So that was perfect for us, because they all had normal bread and we had our gluten-free bread, especially when we were running off in the morning and didn't have any time for breakfast, or when we were running out before going out in the evening. So yeah, thank you so much again, Tara, for coming and talking to me. Thank you to everyone who's been listening. I am so happy that you're here and that you're hearing another great story. And I think one of the things that all these episodes remind me, and talking to all these amazing people who have journeys that we can all relate to, is that we're all in this together. Many of us are discovering new intolerances, or we've had allergies for a long time, or we're new to it, and we're always learning about how our allergies are changing, if they are changing, understanding, you know, what triggers them and things like that. And I think Tara, she's taken something and been inspired by her daughter's friend and made a business out of it, and it's helping so many people. And as you said, she got loads of feedback from customers, which she finds really helpful. So yeah, if you do try her bread, do get in touch, let her know what you think. And Tara's still in the middle of her free from journey, figuring out what triggers her IBS and various things. So if you've got some advice for Tara, if you've been where she's been and you've figured it out, or you've got some suggestions, please leave a note in the comment section of the show notes page, because that's what this is all about. It's all about helping each other and sharing our experiences so that we don't have to live in pain anymore, because that's no fun. So if you go to eatallergysafe.com/episode and then the number 31, you can get to this episode's page and leave a comment for Tara. Tell me what you thought of the episode. Tell me about your story. I'd like to hear from you. I know Tara would love to hear from you, and I'll let her know that you're commenting. So yeah. That being said, have you got a story to tell? If you do, I want to hear from you. And everybody has their own story, their own free from journey. And I want to hear about, have you had a really big challenge, or even if it's a small one, but you found a way to get over it and get through it and work around it and do something differently to still live your life the way you want with allergies, intolerances, celiac disease, or IBS? I want to hear from you, because like many of the people who come on the podcast, you could change someone's life. And I've had a number of people get in touch with me, and some of these you've heard from. So Felicia Sarbartinelli, Cindy Murray, Claire Fryer all have amazing stories, and they've learned so much. All completely different stories, but they're all along the theme of they have these disabilities or potential disabilities because of food, but they found a way to work around it, work with it, and live a life that they're happy with. And they all emailed me to get in touch and come and talk on the podcast. And I was so excited that they did. And I'd love you to get in touch with me too. I mean, do you remember what it was like in the beginning, feeling lost and alone and like you didn't know where to turn or where even to start researching, or there was too much information, so you didn't even know where to start with the information? Sharing your story is going to help someone who's at the beginning of their journey, a bit earlier in their journey than you. So email me via the contact page on the eatallergysafe.com website. Tell me who you are, tell me a little bit about your journey, and I would love to set up an interview with you and come and, so you can come and chat with me for the podcast. So that's mostly it. And then there's a quick update from me on Eat Allergy Safe and the chocolate recipe book that I know you've all been hearing about over the last few weeks. I am almost finished. I am currently writing up the, you know, bits of information, what to look out for when you're looking at products. So, you know, potential places that you can find sneaky lurking allergens. I'm writing up the recipes and editing them and writing them to make them understandable too. Because the way I write my recipes when I'm developing is not necessarily the way you'd want to read them. Sometimes I just write the ingredients and then go from there. But that's just the way I work with developing recipes. And yeah, that's really exciting. I'm doing the last of the photos at the moment, and I have, I don't know how many hundreds to go through. There, I'm aiming to have 25 recipes in this book, so that's really exciting. And this book will be ready for when I and Eat Allergy Safe will be at the Allergy and Free From Show in London in July the 7th to the 9th at London Olympia. And I'm really excited. We're going to be at stand A69, which is by the seminar area, so really easy to find. My parents are going to come and help out, and I'm hoping that some of my friends will come help. So you'll get to meet people who've known me through my allergies. You'll get to meet my parents and talk to them. If you've listened to their episodes on the podcast, which is around episodes 14, 15, and there are two others as well. There'll be links in the show notes so you can go to them. I would love you to come and visit, say hello, check out the Facebook page for more updates. I will be updating, you know, doing some, yeah, just letting you know what we have on offer. But the book will be ready by then. So stay tuned, follow on Facebook, follow on Instagram, follow me on Twitter. All my the handles are Eat Allergy Safe, so you can find that really easily. So yeah, I can't wait to meet you at the allergy show and come and say hi. And that's it for today. Those are all the updates. And that was the episode with Tara Taylor from the Good Grain Bakery. So remember that allergies aren't about missing out. They're about doing things differently. And we'll be learning more next week. Bye-bye for now.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Moda. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.